Welcome back to Building the Bakken. I'm your host, Jason Spies. Thank you folks for joining us this week. In our next segment, Oversight and Regulation, we hear from the chairman of the Public Service Commission in North Dakota, Julie Fedorchuk. This segment of Building the Bakken is brought to you by Kids and Capitalism, instilling ethics, community, and character in tomorrow's leaders today. For more information on Kids and Capitalism, or to check out their latest KidCast, visit kidsandcapitalism.com. That's kidsandcapitalism.com. And now back to our Building the Bakken feature with interview, Julie Fedorchuk, the chairman of the Public Service Commission in North Dakota.
I gotta go, yeah.
You're chairman, aren't you?
I am.
Chairman Fedorchuk. You got a State of the Union for the people of North Dakota? Just so, you know, quick kind of where we're at and where we're going to go. You had a pretty busy couple years with new projects. Are you busier now during the slowdown?
It has been at least as busy. We haven't seen a slowdown because I think the companies have plans for the infrastructure build-out. They know what this resource is. They know that this oil isn't going anywhere. The price doesn't change what the resource is. So we see companies still making huge investments to have infrastructure in place to develop this oil. And so we have permitted last biennium $3.2 billion worth of infrastructure. We have the Dakota Access multi-billion dollar pipeline on our plate right now that will be hopefully wrapping up in the next couple of months, a permit for that project, wrapping up the permitting process anyway. We are seeing significant development of wind resources. I think depending on how the Clean Power Plan shakes out, we'll see a lot more wind in North Dakota for many years to come, wind farm.
More wind turbines?
More wind turbines if the Clean Power Plan goes forward as as proposed in the final rule. We have a great wind resource in North Dakota, and people will be looking to develop it. And so, you know, depending on what the appetite is for landowners to have wind towers on their farm and for communities to provide the permits, we'll see a lot of wind development in North Dakota. I do think those are two big ifs, though. Landowner appetite, community appetite, because I think we are starting to see more pushback on this.
I was going to ask you about that, because the wind pushback, is that coming primarily from the landowner?
It's coming from communities, I think. The landowners, where the wind is actually going to, you know, the wind turbines are going to be, they're paid pretty well. And so they tend to be pretty supportive if they have the towers on their land. It's the neighbors and the communities around it that are going, we're not so sure this is exactly what we want for the future of our area forever. Because these are very large facilities. They cover, you know, 13,000 to 15,000 acres.
That many?
Yes. The last site we permitted was 13,000, and that had shrunk from a 20,000 acre footprint that you know, they had gotten some pushback, so they shrunk it as much as they could. It was still 13,000 acres for a 100 megawatt wind farm.
They're not quiet. I mean, they are, but the neighbors do notice them.
You can hear, you know, there's some noise issues, there's some shadow flicker issues, and there's just the vision on the horizon issues, and then the night sky has changed permanently when you have a wind farm. And there's no solution in sight for that. I wish that technology would come up with another way to identify these towers to planes, because that's why they have to be lit at night. And, you know, there isn't a day of the year where they're off. It's 24/7, 365. Those towers are going to be blinking. And that changes the night sky forever until they come up with some other way to light these things. So those are the impacts that, you know, over time, as the saturation becomes greater, people will be questioning more and more, I think, how much wind are we going to tolerate in North Dakota? And also, Jason, I think the other big question with wind is, you've got the economic impact locally, which is usually pretty substantial. So they pay a lot of taxes. That helps the schools, helps the counties. They're usually pretty good neighbors. A lot of the wind developers work really hard to mitigate concerns. And they are willing to set them back and have the, you know, get the studies on the shadow flicker and the noise and all these. And they pay people well. They'll even pay adjoining landowners to be part of the plan, even if they don't have a tower. So they'll get paid some. So they have a lot of tools that they use to mitigate these local issues. But still, it's a huge footprint, and I think that, you know, as you get more and more of them, citizens are going to be wondering, how much do we want, when a lot of this energy is going to be developed for use out of state? And quite honestly, if it's being developed for use in South Dakota or Minnesota, that doesn't help North Dakota at all in the clean power plan.
To listen to the full-length interview with Julie Fedorchuk, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And that feature was brought to you by Kids and Capitalism, instilling ethics, community, and character in tomorrow's leaders today. For more information on Kids and Capitalism, or to check out their latest KidCast, visit kidsandcapitalism.com. That's kidsandcapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio.
I don't know. But I guess I just got to go. I gotta go, yeah.
MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I am a multimedia journalist and talk show host. Some have called me the shale play prophet while others have called me the curator of capitalism. But honestly, I'm just a father running his son's company. That's right, building the Bakken and coffee and capitalism are family businesses tied to the Bakken oil fields. And while my 9-year-old son Otis is getting his education and working part-time for Kids and Capitalism, I'm keeping our company running. Because in 15 or 20 years when my son is ready, the Bakken will still be a world-class oil play. Crude oil will still be drilled, and our family business will become a second-generation business. From oil companies to trucking companies, to the restauranteur to the hotel operator. It takes a big team to keep this economy moving. My name is Jason Spies, and on behalf of Building the Bakken and Coffee and Capitalism, I would like to thank everyone involved in this Bakken shale play for giving my family an opportunity of a lifetime. Actually, an opportunity of 3 or 4 lifetimes. So am I running my grandson's company, or is it my great-grandson's company?
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Each week, Building the Bakken extracts the very best stories and interviews that are driving the conversation.
It's unlike anything as a country we've seen since the Industrial Revolution.
Building the Bakken is more than just oil and money. It's about the people and the community.
This is nectar of the gods. It doesn't get any better than this.